have the honor and privilege of serving as the Next Gen pastor here, and just excited to share a word with you guys this morning, something that was put on my heart. Pastor Randy and Pastor Jason asked if I would do that today, and I said, of course. Sometimes people want a title for a sermon. If that's somebody, if that's you, I'm going to give you a title. I was trying to think of something like, what would I call this? I'm calling it the breaking point and the willow tree. Breaking point, the definition is the moment of greatest strain at which someone or something gives way. If we're honest, we all have had breaking points. We all are like, look, I was raising kids during COVID. I was at my breaking point. I can't tell you how many of our parents, like last week we opened children's ministry back up. They didn't even stop the car. They just were like, go. You know, they just pushed them out. The kids are like, ah, dang. You know, they come in and they're like, there's no donuts. And I'm like, I'm glad you're here. They're like, where are the donuts? And I'm like, So, you know, people are like trying to figure out how to do life again normal. And many people during this time have reached their breaking point. During the last little bit, there's been a verse that I've just been camping on. I'm going to share it with you guys. It's Hebrews 12, 26 and 27. It says, when he spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But next time, he says, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too. By this, he means that he will sift out everything without solid foundation so that only unshakable things will be left. The prophet Haggai first announced this, saying, hey, people, turn back to God. Get your life back in order. You got to get this right because God's about to shake things up. And he was talking about the New Jerusalem and Jesus coming. And as you remember, if you remember the story, there was an earthquake. There was a shaking. But then the author of Hebrews says, hey, it's going to happen again once more. And I don't know about you, but growing up in the house I grew up in, if your daddy said something more than once, you better pay attention. If he said, I said, you're like, oh, okay. So here we've got God speaking through Haggai and now through Hebrews saying once more, let that which can be shaken be shaken, so that which is unshakable will remain. Have you ever had a verse that you like heard, you've read, you love, but you don't fully understand how it pertains to you personally? Well, I have an illustration for you. If you will welcome to the stage, they're so excited about this, Colin and Chase. These are two, you guys give them a hand. These are two of our student leaders in our youth ministry, and let me tell you, this: I've been in student ministry for 21 years, and you would think that there would be things I would think through before I do it, and I still don't. I was going to use two of these bad boys and just let it happen and say, okay, well, whatever, and his football coach would come after me, and his baseball coach would too. So, okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is what this represents. This right here, Colin, he represents us, but not just any of us, you know, the Christian us, the ones that as we've given our heart to Christ, we trust that God's taking care of us. And I'm going to tell you something, he does, and he has. And we've all got those verses that we're like, you know, God will never leave us or forsake us. He won't. We think about the fact that as Christians, we signed up for this, so whatever we face in life should be easier. Chase, he represents life. So sometimes life has... Don't hurt him. Okay. So sometimes life has some hard blows. Y'all remember Bubble Boy, the John Travolta movie? Is that what it was called? Don't go watch it if you have. Don't waste your time. It's the worst movie ever. But this is what it makes me think of. All right. Some examples of when life hits us when we feel like we're in that bubble. A failed friendship. This is going to be so funny. Bad business deal. Turned down for a promotion. blown up in your family. Walmart won't open their second entrance. You're good. And the list goes on and on, right? You can take that off. Be careful. It's amazing. Now, the reality is, although times in life, it does feel like we're in a bubble, what about the times that we're not? What about the times when life hits? I wasn't going to let them start duking it out up here. That would have gone a totally different direction than we want to go this morning. But what about when life hits and you feel it? What about when life hits and it doesn't feel like there's been protection? And you find yourself going, where's God? Is God still faithful? Is he still available? Wait a minute. But the Bible said, well, what did the Bible say? So I'm going to tell you something right now. There are preachers out there that will tell you that if you're a Christian, bad things won't happen. And that if bad things are happening, it's because your life is full of sin. Both of those things are not accurate. Actually, the Bible's very clear that we're going to go through hardships. The Bible's very clear that there's going to be moments that are difficult. So I don't want you to think that I'm sitting here saying that when the bubble comes off, all of a sudden, like, this is not a doom and gloom message. This isn't one of those, hey, suck it up. This is the way life is going to be. But I do think that there's two questions I want you to ask yourself this morning. The first one is, do I trust God? No, not just, oh, yeah, of course I do. But no, do I trust God? Ask yourself, God, when it comes down to it, when life throws me a curveball, when things don't go as I plan, do I trust you? And then second, what is my breaking point? How far is too far? What's the last straw that I can handle? I want to talk to you this morning about a story of a guy named Noah. Most everybody in here has heard that story. And you think, hey, he was in a bubble. God totally put him in a bubble. It's a story of this like little chubby guy who was on a cruise ship and he had some giraffes. And it's such a cool, like we read the story to our kids. Like we painted our nursery that way. It's a great story. It is a great story, but it is one of the most gruesome stories in the Bible. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in God's protection. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the miraculous signs and wonders. I believe if God says it, it can happen, and there's nobody that can get in God's way. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of Scripture. Not just some Scripture, all Scripture. In context. See, that's where we get hung up. I like this one. I don't like this one, but I like this one. I believe that there have been so many moments in our lives, your lives, my life, where God has moved on our behalf, and it's like we've been in a bubble. And you know, it's like, oh, God protected us there. But if you be honest, maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But if we're completely honest, that's not the stuff that sticks with us, is it? Most of us don't wake up going, oh man, God has been so good. Let me just lay here and count my blessings. And if you do, man, keep doing that. But if you're anything like me, well, you have a brain that doesn't shut off. You wake up looking at what's not going right, what needs to be fixed, what has to be accomplished. And we find ourselves forgetting about the faithfulness of God, forgetting about the provision of God, forgetting about the goodness of God. Because we're so caught up, me included, so caught up in the idea that we don't like to be uncomfortable when things aren't easy. Like nobody signs up for discomfort. Like nobody's like, yeah, I want my life to be horrible. Sign me up for that. That sounds great. Like we don't enjoy that. And so oftentimes we find ourselves pulled going, well, if God is faithful, why did this happen? Or if God is merciful, why is my family dealing? My family, they have followed the Lord. I can't tell you how many times we prayed with people that are like, I have served the Lord for X number of years. I've been at church every time the door is open. And it's hard when we think God's faithfulness is based off of our goodness. It's not. God's good whether we are or not. Let me make it really easy for you. Max Lucado said it best. He says, the presence of pain doesn't mean an absence of God. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. The presence of pain doesn't mean an absence of God. Just because you're feeling something uncomfortable doesn't mean that God has stepped out of the picture. On the contrary, he is ever present. We can hear the story of Noah and say, but look, man, God was faithful. He made a promise. He wasn't going to flood the earth again. He gave him a rainbow. It's a great story. It is a great story. But I think if you dive in, you begin to see the bubble in which we think he lived is a little different. So we're going to do that today, okay? We're going to look at Genesis chapter 6 through 9. If I had the time, I would come through. There is so much good. I encourage you guys, take time on your own and go home and read Genesis 6 through 9. Now, I'm not telling you to stop reading it to your kids before bed. I might would find a different story. After I read, you'll be like, oh, yeah, she's right. We don't need to be telling our kids this stuff right now before they go to sleep. But 6 through 9 is good. Okay, so it starts off, Noah was in his early 500s when he started building the ark. That's a breaking point in itself right there. Like, if I live to be over 150, the whole world owes me something. Like, can you imagine being 500? I'm going to build this big old boat. I don't know what it's for. I don't know what we're doing. God said he's going to destroy the world. I'm just going to do it. Like, crazy. But he started after 500 years old. Wrap your mind around that. And then in Genesis 6, it says God gave Noah specifics to follow. And the Bible says, and Noah did exactly as the Lord asked him. God didn't just say, hey, build a boat. God gave him down to the inch of what he needed to do. How big and bad and bold this thing was going to be. How it had 3 decks and all the details. God gave him all the specifics. And then it's reported that it took between 55 and 75 years for Noah to build the ark. There's another breaking point. Some of y'all mad because we've had rain. You're like, I can't get my house built. Did it take you 55 years? Okay, like, seriously, no. But, like, it's we get to these points where, like, that's not fair. That's not the way it has to be. But Noah had to trust God through a process that didn't make sense. Think about that for a second. Despite that he had nothing to compare it to, nobody had ever done this. This storm that was coming had never happened. He had nothing to compare it to. Despite knowing that God was about to wipe out the entire planet. Think about that for a second. Every nail he drove in, every board he cut, knowing in his knower, every step closer to having this finished is one step closer for God to wipe it all out. Despite that there was no men's group or community group that were like, hey, buddy, we're going to smoke a brisket, bring it over, and we're going to help you build this boat. Like, he was on his own and his sons, and you know how it is working with your kids? I mean, maybe we do. I mean, it's weird. Despite that there was no Google site. This doesn't look right. Pull up Google and let's see how to properly build an ark. And also despite the ridicule he faced. Don't think for one second that the world around him did not mock, didn't make fun of, didn't like poke at him. And yet people start getting in my business. Yeah, it's easier for me just to go, okay, forget it. And back off. He didn't. He pushed through. Despite all those things, he trusted God. Then it shows in Genesis chapter 7 that Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark. So all of that leading up, now he's 600 and he's entering the ark. And then in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, this is key. It says, God shut the door. What is significant about that? It's huge. Noah built this whole ark, and if Noah's brain and Noah's who he is anything like me, he gets in that ark. If he was responsible for pulling that door shut, all it takes is a couple, hey, buddy, let me in. All right, but you better bring some food because we only brought enough for us, you know? Like, and he could open it, but he didn't do that. The Bible says that God shut the door. The only thing Noah had control over was his obedience. And y'all, sometimes all you and I have control over is our obedience. But let's be real, we want more control than that, don't we? We want to be in control of how it looks, how God's going to deliver, the way it's good. We want control. Noah had none. But I also love that God ensured that Noah wouldn't have to live the rest of his life with the responsibility looming over him of what happened on the outside of that ark. Think about that for a second. They could have been screaming, Noah, let me in. And he said, I can't. And he couldn't. And it wasn't on him. Then in Genesis 7, 17 through 20, the greatest storm in the history of mankind hits. Most of us know it lasted 40 days and 40 nights. And we think it ended there. It didn't. 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't rain. The Bible says that the ground burst open with water and then the heavens begin to pour. So you got water coming from every direction. It's thundering. It's lightning. They didn't know what that was. They could hear it. They were freaked out. This is happening for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says that there was so much water on the earth that the highest mountain was covered by 23 feet. So go home, Google the highest mountain in the world. How tall is it? Add 23 feet. That's how much water was on this earth. Now, was the mountain the same height? There's all this. Well, were the mountains the same height? Who cares? Like, go to the Ozarks. It was 23 feet higher than that. That's a lot of water, y'all, across the earth. That's a lot of water. Even though, think about this for a second. This is where it gets me, the atmosphere. Even though God had protected Noah and his family, don't think for a minute that for 40 days and 40 nights, the constant storm, the constant yelling, which the yelling probably didn't last as long as you would think, the idea, the understanding of what was happening on the outside with no picture, just knowing this isn't good. Carrying that. Then the rocking of the boat. If you're somebody who gets sick on cruises, this would not be the boat you would want to be on. There's not enough Dramamine in the world to help you handle the ark. 40 nights, 40 days, torrential downpour. All new and very indescribable to them. But it didn't end there. Because in Genesis 7:24, it's unexplained silence. For 150 days, they floated while the waters swelled. Like, man. Going from insane, earth-shattering storms to deafening silence. You think Noah thought, God, have you forgotten us? I mean, how many times in our life have we trusted God and then we get in the middle of the storm and they're like, God, where are you? We did this because we thought you had us. 150 days. But then in Genesis chapter 8, it starts off talking about that God remembered Noah. Now, you would think that meant God forgot Noah. God hadn't forgot Noah. God knew where Noah was at all times, just like God knows where you are at all times. Just like God knows where I'm at all times. But God's attention was turned to what he told Noah he was going to do. But he says, God remembered Noah. God turned his attention back to Noah. And the Bible says that he brought a great wind to cause the waters to recede. Now, we're talking a lot of water. So this isn't an afternoon wind. Imagine sitting for 150 days after the worst storm, and all of a sudden, the winds start to blow again. Far too often, we mistake a move of God for another storm. How often in our lives does God move, but because we didn't trust him with what happened to begin with, we don't know that we can trust him with what's happening right now? That's not comfortable because it's not easy and we're not bubble boy. But there's been times in my life that God, it's felt like I've been in a bubble. That's what I'm saying. There are those times, but we can't neglect and pretend like the other times don't exist. The wind was blowing and drying up the waters. The boat continued to rock. And in Genesis 8:4, it says the boat landed, but the wait wasn't over. It locked itself up in the mountains of Ararat. But they didn't just climb out. It took them a few months for the waters to continue to recede. The hardest part to me in this whole story is this moment right here. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've walked through this, something similar. In Genesis 8:22, Noah had to face the rebuilding process. Do you know how uncomfortable that had to have been the moment that God opened that door back up? To walk out knowing that everything that once was is no more. To walk out knowing, where are we? What do we do now? Are we supposed to be grateful? Do we feel guilty? That rebuilding process had to begin. There have been a lot of studies on the timeline of how long Noah was on the boat. Different theologians based it off of different of the scriptures. And this is the three top numbers they've come up with. Am I telling you that these are 100% accurate? No. But I'm telling you, these are the three top numbers, all the research. He was either on the boat 364 days, 370 days, or 377 days. And if you ask me, who cares? That boy was on there a year. And that is a long time to be on a boat with seven other people and a bunch of animals. He was what we understand the word quarantined for a year. But unlike us, he didn't have the internet. He didn't have Hulu or Netflix. He didn't have Uber Eats. Like, they didn't roll up on a jet ski with a pizza. Dude, I know you're hungry in there. Open that little window. We're going to let that raven out, and we'll stick this pizza on up in there. Like, that didn't happen. Like, wouldn't that be cool? That would be cool to me. I don't know. But he didn't have that. He had what he had. He didn't have a phone because there was nobody to call. I mean, he was stuck. Just stuck. And it's easy to celebrate a happy ending, but it's often the pain and the process that causes us to reach our breaking point. We can listen. Y'all, we all do it. We hear people's testimonies and we're like, wow, look at what God did with them. But their going through was not easy. Every single one of you in here, everybody watching online, you know what I'm talking about. Your testimony, you didn't get to where you got easy, or it's not a testimony. It's like, I went through some hardships, but God. And we think when we're going through it, God's not present. But if you look at Noah's life, God was present the entire time. Well, what does that have to do with me? Maybe we're not Noah, okay? Maybe you and I aren't going to go get on some boat in the world. I mean, like, we know that's not going to happen. But what we do know is we have all been inside, or will someday be inside, our own dark, shaking boat. Where the blows that come aren't as easy as the ones that hit the bubble. Maybe it's a loss of a job, a failed marriage, death of a loved one, the moral decline of our nation, sickness and disease, division in the family, a miscarriage, and the list goes on and on. And we have this idea that as Christians, we're supposed to fake it till we make it, that we're not supposed to feel. Because acknowledging the pain, y'all need to get this. Acknowledging the pain, acknowledging the hurt, acknowledging the struggle means that we're not acknowledging God. Wrong. We're acknowledging our need for God. God, if you're going through it, God has not left you. He was in prison with Paul. He was present when Peter hung upside down on the cross. And he's present with you. But you've got to ask yourself, do you trust God? And what's your breaking point? So, what causes us to reach a breaking point? Or better yet, what prevents us from reaching that breaking point? Go back to that very first verse we read, Hebrews 12:27. It says, by this he means that he will sift out everything without solid foundation, so that only unshakable things will be left. We have this idea that the American way, it's supposed to be easy. The Christian way, no hardships, or God's not faithful. And the reality is, we put, I'm just gonna say this, and if you don't like this, I'm gonna sleep just fine tonight. We put too much emphasis and focus on this life. But this life, the Bible says, is a vapor. What we do here matters eternity. Eternity doesn't matter what we do here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got it backwards. We got it back. We're like, oh, well, this is going to happen. God wants to bless me. Baby, the fact that you got breath in your lungs, God's blessing you. Like, we got to get past the fact that we think God owes us anything, because he doesn't. And yet, when we go through hard times, his word says, I will be with you. Why would he say, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you? Because he said we were going to walk through it. He said we were going to have moments that were uncomfortable. We were going to have times where the bubble wasn't present, but yet he was. And we have to recognize the blows don't keep you down. Now, when we were pastoring in Central Arkansas, there was this big conference that we were all of our pastoral staff was going to. And then our senior pastor decided he was just taking the executive team. And so Phil, my husband, loaded up on a plane and I didn't get to go. And the reason I'm telling you that is because my attitude was horrible. Because it's like, well, why do you get to go? And I was just mad. I would love to say that I was like this great little wife and I'll have cookies waiting for you when you get home, love. But I didn't. I was like, hope your seat's not the greatest. No, I'm just kidding. So they load up and they go to North Carolina for this amazing conference that I had been looking forward to. So now you know where my attitude's at. Now back up a little bit. I'm going to tell you a story. Where we had lived before this house was in a subdivision. And my favorite tree in the world is a willow tree. And I asked Phil, can I have a willow tree? He said, no. They tear up everything. The root system will tear up. Your sprinkler system will tear up your foundation. Like, you don't want that. And I'm like, other people have willow trees. He's like, other people have foundation problems. And I'm like, so we move. I call them a country. It wasn't a country. We lived in a neighborhood that had 2 to 5 acres at each house, okay? But that was country living to me. And so Phil on Mother's Day brings me a willow tree. He said, but you have to plant it way out there because it's not going to mess with anything else. And I was so excited. Like, I love my 2 children, but I also loved this willow tree. I was like, oh, y'all, I have a willow tree. And then my kids are going to grow up, and then they're going to get married under this willow tree. Like, I had all these ideas. So Phil's off in North Carolina, and I'm at home, 2 small children, and a tornado comes. Oh, yes. See, y'all are already with me. You're like, mm-hmm. I was mad. I was like, we're going to die, and he's not even going to be here. I was so mad. Like, it was his fault the tornado came. But, ladies, you know, we get weird, right? And so I did what my dad and mom did when we were kids, because I grew up in the panhandle. We had tornadoes, like, every Tuesday. And so I take my kids to, there's a bathroom in the middle of the house that there's no windows, and I stick them in the tub. And then I go get a mattress. I don't know why I got the mattress, but my mom and dad did that. That's just what you do. You put people under a mattress. So I drag this mattress by myself into the bathroom and shove it over the tub. I'm like, they're safe. They're fine. Nothing's good. I'm like, you've never seen. Why do we do that? Have you ever watched like a news thing after a tornado? Look, the whole neighborhood was wiped out. But my family, we were under a mattress. We all lived. Like, you don't ever hear that. Like, I think if you own a mattress store, that needs to be your commercial. You want to sleep well? You want to survive tornadoes? Shop with us. So, like, I had my kids under this mattress. I didn't know what else to do. And I am losing my mind, running back and forth from the bathroom to the front window to look at my willow tree. Just as soon as I get one, it's going to be taken from me. Go back. The kids are fine. They're under the mattress. Oh, the willow tree. And the willow tree's all of the branches are gone. Let me explain how bad. It's like a little stick just in the, you know, like an antenna in the yard. But this is the worst day ever. Not that we were about to die, possibly, but my willow, you know, it's like, Amber, get your perspective right. Here's what the storm was like. The gazebo in our backyard was picked up, twisted, and dropped into our swimming pool. All of the pine trees coming into our neighborhood had been snapped in half. The best part, I don't know why this is funny to me. Our neighbors had a trampoline in their backyard. It picked it up and brought it into the front yard. And they left it there. Like, that is great. No, we don't even have to go in the backyard. Like, we just watch them jump out here. True story, I went back to do a wedding last year. That trampoline was still in their front yard. I'm like, these people are living their best life. But my willow tree was, like, gone. And so I called Phil, and I was like, you weren't here. They were under a mattress. He's like, good job, baby. I'm like, okay, yeah, I did the mattress thing right. Fast forward a couple weeks. That little antenna stick started budding. I'm like, Phil, the willow tree is alive. And he looks at me like I'm dumb. He's like, well, yeah. Oh, like you, because you went to North Carolina, you know that? Like, no. And he said, Amber, I'm gonna tell you why it's alive, baby. It's how it's rooted. See, when you got that willow tree, it took it a while to grow, but the root system went crazy. And once the root system was established, then the willow tree began to grow. He said, storms happen, But that thing survived. I'm going to tell you something right now. Storms happen.
That's right.
And you're going to have your branches snapped off at times. You're going to have some leaves missing. You may look down the road and the trampolines in the front yard and the gazebos in the pool. But if you are deeply rooted in the things of God, what's stripped away will grow back. You have to trust that when storms happen, that is not God failing. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're like, okay, when the storm happens, I'm going to root myself. It's too late. You can't root yourself in a storm. You start now. Get ready. Oh, wow, this is doom and gloom. No, this is life. This is life. There's not one person, not one story, not one account in Scripture where they went through hardships that God wasn't present. And those are the stories that you and I bank our faith on. But we can't just look at the outcome and go, that's what I want. You got to trust that to get where God's going to have you, I didn't even tell the first service this. To get where God has you, where he's called you, where he wants you, you're going to have to go through things that the enemy is going to put in the way to stop you from getting there. That is not comfortable. But I want a bubble. But what about when you don't have one? Bow your heads with me all across this room. I don't think that we have to expect life to be doom and gloom. I'm not saying that at all. Because the Bible is true, all Scripture, that he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Well, that's what I want. Well, it also says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he'll raise a standard against him. You got to trust that the God that's on your side will not fail you, even when circumstances do. Amen. You have to trust that the God who created, designed, and purposed you will never take his eye off of you. And if you are rooted in him, every wind, every storm, every season of change that comes your way, he's got you. The Bible says he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you can bank on that. So if you're in here right now and you say, you know what? I'm not rooted in anything. I don't have a relationship with God. And if you think coming to church makes you have a relationship with God, you're wrong. I'm talking about a relationship where you know he's yours and you are his. Where you've surrendered your life to him, where you've trusting him with things that you don't know what to do with. When nobody else can fix it, God can. When nobody else knows what to say, God does. And maybe nobody's told you this before, so let me be the first. He sees you. He knows your name. And if you'll let him, he'll carry you. Storms will happen. But your root system will take you to where you're supposed to be. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here and you can say, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to commit my life to Christ. To clarify, I need to be saved from myself, from the devil, from the world. I need to turn my life over to Christ. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. If there's anybody here, I would love to pray with you. Is there anybody right now? Okay. Now, if you're in here and you can say, I've given my life to Christ. But man, I've been mad. I've been bitter. I've been frustrated. I've been apathetic. Just checked out. Just trying to ride this bad boy out. The whole time, God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to draw you closer to him. If you're in here and you say, hey, I need my roots to go a little deeper. I need to take some time and stop worried about this pretty tree I'm growing, and I need to start focusing on the roots that nobody sees. Y'all look cute. Don't let me tell you that. Y'all look cute. But the surface changes, right? If you're in here right now and you say, yeah, I need to work on my roots. Just nobody looking around. Just raise your hand. Me too, y'all. I do. Let's pray. Can everybody stand up? Let's pray together. I don't want anybody walking out of here thinking, oh gosh, we're about to get ready for a storm. The worst thing in the world is to go through a hurricane and in the middle of the hurricane try to board your windows. People move to the beach knowing that there's going to be hurricanes. They just prepare for it. Live your life. Live it to the fullest. Trust God. Go do big things. Change the world. But know the enemy hates your guts and he's out to destroy you. Just be prepared. Just be prepared. So that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that standard is raised. And you'll be like, mm-hmm. Take the leaves. I was looking for some new ones anyway. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you, God, for reminders like Noah. That although an amazing story, a beautiful promise, Lord, we are so thankful for that promise. Thank you for the reminder that what Noah went through, you were present. And the bumps and the bruises and the pains along the way, the things that are out of our control. Lord, help us when we're exhausted to just rest in you. Help us when we don't have an answer to look to you. The word says the author and finisher of our faith. When we're angry, help us to go to you because you are the one that gives peace that surpasses all understanding. When we're sad, thank you, Lord, that your joy is what gives us strength. I pray over every person within the sound of my voice, those watching online, those present today, Lord, that you just be with them. You wrap your arms around them. You encourage them. You strengthen them. You help their root system grow deeper and deeper, Lord. Help them to stop looking to the left or the right, but to look to you. God, I thank you that there is nothing that comes against them that you are not aware of, that you don't have a plan. And I thank you, God, this life is just prepping us for, Lord, what's to come. Help us to make the most of every moment. Thank you, God, that our heart should be we get to heaven and we take everybody around us with us. We love you so much, God. You're good. You're faithful. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hey, if you need prayer, we've got an incredible prayer team down here. Y'all are welcome to come pray with them. We love you, and we'll see you next week.